Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. O Lotus Eyed One, kindly bless me by fulfilling my desire. When someone in distress approaches a great person, his plea should never go in vain. Please repeat. O Lotus Eyed One, kindly bless me by fulfilling my desire. When someone in distress approaches a great person, his plea should never go in vain. Purport. Diti knew well that her request might be rejected because of the untimely situation, but she pleaded that when there is emergency or distressful condition, there is no consideration of time or situation. O Lotus Eyed One, kindly bless me by fulfilling my desire. When someone in distress approaches a great person, his pleas should never go in vain. I think I forgot the invocation. Did I forget? Old age. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanati Marandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militanjena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Thank you everyone for coming here this morning. Bhaktivedanta Manor for Srimad Bhagavatam class, particularly listening to me. I don't feel particularly learned. There's probably many of you who understand the scriptures and the Siddhanta better than me. So I ask for your blessings. I can say a few things. Vancha kalpa tribhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patito nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Some of you may know me as a plonker. I actually studied the wrong verse. So let's see what happens this morning. There are two things in life that kind of drives us. One is want and one is need. So in life, we go about our daily activities by these two kind of urges. What we need in life to exist, what we need to go about in life, and the other is what we want in life. They might seem similar, but they're actually quite different. So one, the need is what we need to keep the body and soul, what our kind of situation is in the world as we relate to people. And the other is what we want. And that's based on a little bit more personal of what we want out of our life. So in this situation, this particular verse, it seems apparent that Diti, she wants something which is a little bit out of context or not in this situation the right time. So, and she is fully aware of it, that what she wants, what her request is not exactly right. But nevertheless, because that want is such a strong driving force, it doesn't stop her wanting that request. So in life, we are all controlled by different forces. What are the forces we are controlled by? Anyone knows? Yeah, the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And it says that sometimes we are controlled by the mode of goodness, and we feel all chirpy and happy when we get out of bed and we like tiptoeing to the bathroom. And sometimes we're in the mode of passion and we don't even have time to have breakfast, and zoom down we are in our car, you know. And sometimes we're in the mode of ignorance and you turn the alarm off and you don't want to hear it at all and you just stay in bed. So different kinds of modes, they affect us. And sometimes when it's a mode of passion that affects us, then that's when that want is there. And then when we have these three factors trying to push us in a certain way, then we have another three or many kind of urges which are there, or moods which are there, which Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Pandit, do you know which one I'm thinking about? There are three gates. Yeah, so there are three gates which are leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. So these are some of the qualities also that we get affected by: lust, anger, and greed. We've all been maybe in that situation. I know I certainly have been in a situation, maybe in the breakfast when there's nice cheesy toast. When one is enough, we always ask for a second one. Who's asked for a third and fourth one? So you know, greed takes over. And we want more than what we can chew. There's sometimes a saying amongst the devotees, the eyeballs are bigger than your guts, isn't it? Then sometimes we get controlled by the mode of anger. You know, sometimes when things don't come our way, when sometimes things are not the way we see or perceive, then this anger, it just becomes flippant and we get angry easily. Sometimes we get angry just to get our way. We sometimes see this as kids. If any of you parents, we see maybe at this time, at Christmas time, I don't know if kids are opening presents, and by God, if they don't get their iPhone or the PlayStation 10, they are going to be some upset kids this morning. So then the anger comes out and they get very, very angry. Then, of course, there's lust also. So lust also is there, which Krishna also says is the sinful, devouring enemy of the living entity. And then sometimes we get pulled by this lust. And it seems like deity is under this spell. And then she is inflicted by this karma, this desire. And sometimes when you get inflicted by this strong desire, no matter what someone tells you, then there's nothing that will sink. Now, lust doesn't generally mean only kind of sexual things, but also means things that you just want for yourself. Say, for example, Duryodhana. So he had the lust just wanting to have the kingdom. He didn't want to even share it with his brothers. And when Krishna went as a messenger, Krishna said, look, just give them 5 villages as Kshatriyas. They need to rule. Just give them 5 villages. But famously, What did Duryodhana say? I won't give him land that will even fit the tip of a needle. So how was he affected by that lust? Even at the expense, Krishna was explaining, there's going to be bloodshed, you're going to lose family members. But he was too self-centered, too caught up in his own little bubble, in his own world, to think about someone else. So Kashyapa's in a little bit of a dilemma situation over here. On the one hand, generally, hope I'm not treading on iffy, it is the duty of the husband to try and satisfy the needs of the wife, to make her happy, to make her feel comfortable. All her needs are satisfied. Home sweet home. A good wife is a good life, they say. Is that true, Rubin, or not? You've heard it, but anyway, maybe the experience might be different. But generally, that's the kind of way when we go into Grihastha life, we try and please. But when it's a situation where what request might be, might not be the best, then you're left in a little bit of a dilemma what to do. So when you're in a desperate situation, then when you come in that despair, then the other person, if it's a great person, it is acknowledged here that Kashyapa is recognized as a great person. So when a great person is requested, then generally, because they're a great person, then they will fulfill that obligation. So this also reminds me of another story from the Mahabharata of another great person. It wasn't his duty, but he had to also fulfill a certain desperate situation. Anyone can think of what I'm thinking of? Bhishma is there. It was going to be the end of the Kuru lineage. No more Kurus. The end. Khatam ho gaya. Sorry? That's right. Vyasadev. So, Bhishma didn't want to get married. No more kids. Satyavati? Was that correct? So then she requested Vyasadev, look, we're in a desperate situation. And Vyasadev, hey, wait a minute, I'm a sage, this is not my business, you know, I'm happy in my gufa. I don't know if anyone's been to Badrikashram. Anyone been to Badrikashram? You can go to the place where Vyasadev wrote the Mahabharata. We have Vyasadev, Ganesh, they wrote the Mahabharata. He compiled the Vedas, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So then he didn't want to comply to the request of Satyavati, but because being a desperate situation, then he complied. Then he said, yes, I'll do it. And then we know what happened, all the different kind of progeny that came out, which is also quite interesting because later on we'll see how the timely situation affected the progeny. And then at the time of conception, different types of children came out. So then Kashyapa obliged, knowing it was not the right time. So generally, different times of the days are ideal for spiritual meditation, chanting, doing your puja. And the Brahma Muhurta is an important time to do your spiritual activities. And Sandhya, the evening, is also there to do your prayers, your puja, your winding up for the day. A lot of you are probably reading the Krishna book before you're tucking into bed. So that's the way we try and unwind our day. And the last thing we want to do is engage in some kind of act of sexual activity. Because although lust is mainly just to enjoy the body, but this act is also going to produce life. So when it happens at the wrong time, it is explained that Lord Shiva, he's monitoring and is transversing with all his followers. And at that point, if there's some kind of act of conception, which is at the wrong time, then the living entities of the lower nature, particularly tamas, they take advantage of that and they enter into that act and they go into the womb of the mother. And it is quite evident, as we all know, that because the time was wrong when they conceived, then the children that were born from Diti were Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyayaksha. Now, would you say they were the ideal Gurukul kids? Would you want to mother or father Hiranyakashipu? What would you like to get them for Christmas? So, but joking aside, it is important that the parent, when they want to bring the living entity into the material world, then they follow certain kind of sanskars which are laid down in the scriptures. So, if the parents are following the dharmic way of life, Sanatan Dharma, Krishna consciousness, the act of creating a body, the act of inviting the soul into our life, into our family, it's a very, very special thing. And it's not just the body that we're trying to create, but the consciousness of the soul and its karma also comes within that body. So there is 10 different types of sanskars that needs to be performed. And the first one is that you don't just decide to, hey, let's just have some kids or let's see what happens when we do it. You have to perform what we call Garbhada sanskar. And Garbhada sanskar is trying to have a sanskar that will bring a soul which is Sattva Gun, which is going to be Krishna conscious. As we see when Vyasadev, when he was conceiving with these different queens, it was only the maidservant who was looking after Vyasadev very, very nicely, that the child that came out was Vidura, a very saintly person. But the other queens, one of them, when they saw Vyasadeva, obviously he was all wrinkled, he wasn't the most kind of, you know, handsome looking person in the block. So when they saw Vyasadeva, they were shocked. So that was the conception. And then Pandu was born. I think he was completely white, wasn't it? Or we are sickly. Pale. And what was the third one? I forget. Old age. That's right. Thank you so much. So then one of them closed the eyes. And then because of that, then Jashi Shirada Gokulanandaki, who was born? Dhritarashtra, blind. So it is important that Garbhada Sanskar is followed. But Kashyapa, he could see by the dint of mystic power that the children that he was going to have, the omens were there. There was bad omens he could see. There was thunder. There was torrential rain. There was hurricane. And he predicted that the children that were going to be born are going to be one of a violent nature. They're going to cause distress to people. They're going to be so horrific that it will take the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself to descend to deal with your child. The ordinary Gurukuli teacher is not going to be able to deal with Hiranyakashipu or Hiranyayaksha. It needs the Supreme Lord himself. And then he also saw in his children to be, there was going to be destruction and death. And we know that wherever Hiranyayaksha or Hiranyakashipu was, followed immediately was death, destruction, violence. And interestingly enough, he also saw something else in the future of the children. So he saw death, he saw violence, he saw the Supreme Lord coming to kill his own child. What else did Kashyapa see when he could foresee the future of his children? That's right, he saw mercy. He saw compassion. He saw that there was a ray of light. So even though there was a misfortune, even though it was some wrong act, there was a ray of light, and that was the grandchild would be Prahlad Maharaj, and he will be the saving grace. And of course, when Narsingadev asked Prahlad after killing Hiranyakashipu, what do you want? Then of course Prahlad Maharaj, all he wanted was pure devotional service. Then again Narsingadev asked, what is it that you want personally? And being a great devotee, he didn't want anything himself. He said, even though my father was a great demon, he caused so much pain, I want that he gets a chance. So apparently from a misfortune, good fortune came. And Narsingadev said, because you are connected to him, he's already in a fortunate position. He's already liberated. And not just him, 21 generations. So that is the importance of having a pure child, a child that will be Krishna conscious, a child that will be there in the mode of goodness. Otherwise, then the child will be affected by the surroundings of its parents. While the mother is pregnant, whatever she is going through is going to affect the consciousness of the child. I was reading this one article. There was this one parent. They were having a really difficult time with the child, and it was constantly crying and crying. And no matter what they did, the child was never happy. They put a milk bottle. They put a little toy. They did coochie coochie coo. And all those things here and there. If you've been a parent, you know sometimes it's quite hard to try and control a restless, crying child. So they were kind of a bit bewildered and they didn't know what to do. The child always seems distressed. Then at one point they realized the child became silent. And they noticed this was like a regular occurrence. At a certain point when the child was disturbed, the child became a bit peaceful. Then I was wondering, why was that? Then it connected, it came a eureka moment that when the parents were watching EastEnders, whatever the jingle is, the child recognized that, and for some reason it became a soothing act. And that explains that when the mom was pregnant with the child, she would be watching EastEnders and the child inside be watching EastEnders. And he began to relate to that. So it is important that what the parents do when they have the children, it'll affect the child. So generally Prabhupada within ISKCON sent that we have to chant 50 rounds, that we have to go through certain spiritual kind of purification, and in that way we can try and bring about a child. If someone can possibly bring up this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 16th chapter, text 35, up there. Is it possible? So this is the conclusion or understanding of today's class, what we can take with that with us. If you're trying to act to try and have children, trying to do it at the right time, not at the inauspicious time, otherwise it'll affect the kids and you'll get kids like Hiranyakashipu. But if you do it according to what the Bhagavatam is saying, is that the right one? 35.
Did I get it right again?
3rd canto, yeah? Okay, I think I might have got it wrong, excuse me. Anyway, I think maybe Mataji, you might know. It's that Bhagavatam verse where it's explaining that whatever the child is going through at the conception of the parents or during the pregnancy, then that's the type of child that's going to come out. So it is important in all our acts, not just having a child, whatever sadhana we're doing, whether we're chanting our rounds, whether we're reading, we're doing at the right time. And as we know, the Brahma Muhuta is the best time to perform our spiritual duties. And they become the most potent at that time. So, when Diti approached the situation, even though it was not the right time, Kashyapa being a great person, obliged, obviously there was consequences. So then we can learn from these acts in our own life so that we don't also follow in pursuit of someone else's mistake. There's different ways of getting knowledge. One is your own experience in life. But first class is watching someone else's, and then you can learn from their experience and imbibe from them. And in that way, we can learn from other people's experience in life. Okay, I'm going to stop over here. I'll give a few moments for questions answers of anything they might want to make comments about. Anybody want any Paramakaruna Prabhuji?
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. Just wondering your thoughts on this. What if what are the consequences if Kashyapa refused his wife? Or what are the consequences when a Kshatriya is approached by a lady for marriage and he says no? Or a great person is approached for some charity and he refuses? What are the consequences?
You would have to ask the husbands if they say no to their husband's wife. Everything will have a consequences. I can't always know what the consequences. Each situation is individual. I know, for example, Bhishma, when he was asked to say, to get married, he stuck to his dharma and he said no. And then he was so adamant that he had a fight with Parashuram, and even Parashuram was trying to convince him. But Parashuram, even he couldn't defeat Bhishma. So I think each situation will probably need to merit accordingly and see what, if Kashyapa had said no. But I think at least in this situation, from my understanding, is even though it might seem like he agreed to a deed which was not right, the consequences was that there was a great fortune that Prahlad Maharaj appeared. So a great person might know that it's wrong, but he might go because he knows maybe it'll have a good kind of an outcome. But sometimes you can say no also. Like I know Prabhupada, when he was young, he wanted to marry someone. He had already made his mind he wanted to marry someone, but his father said, I got someone else. And then he didn't go according to what he wanted, he went according to what his father wanted. So each situation, if someone requests you something that is difficult, which might be seemingly not right, then you, with your reason, with your logic, you have to see if it's something that will have a worse consequences than by accepting it. Does that make sense? Anybody wants to add anything to that? That we know a situation is going to be not good, and then you decided to say no.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu. I'm just wondering, just thinking one thing in regard of that, since there's a Kali Yuga, for example, if you break all those, in a Kali Yuga, there is no much consequences because it's mentioned in Kali Yuga. If you think bad, or you don't do, there's no consequences. So if you see the Vedic time, if one really refuses, like wife, or refuses to give charity, there will be consequences. That's a law. But in Kali Yuga, this probably would not have so much.
Yeah, I guess like in the Vedic times, there were a little bit more kind of rules and regulations, and people would have to kind of follow a certain dharma and be obliging, particularly Kshatriyas. They were always somehow or another put in a difficult or awkward situation, and then they would have to fulfill something.
Also like in regards of giving a vow to do something, then even Krishna supports that vow in proper Vedic time. So that for example, at Kardama, that he gave a vow, I'm not going to, probably will be supported, and Krishna would tweak his pastime in some other way. Otherwise, you know, he needed to beget demons. He needed, it must happen. He needed to be God. For example, he was waiting proper time, then demons will not be born, would be devotees, and be again against the plan of the Lord. So,
I mean, we all know the giant Vijay, you know, they had the choice, you know, demons or devotees. So they chose to be demons because they want to get quickly back. So, you know, again, that's something that Krishna had to fulfill. So then this was orchestrated in a such a way, otherwise which way they would appear as demons, you know? So therefore, yeah, everything somehow or another has a correlation, fits into a jigsaw puzzle. So sometimes when you go into a movie and you go halfway through, you don't understand what's going on and you're scratching, why is that getting killed or why is this guy do? But if you watch from the beginning, then you know the whole situation. So you have to also see things in the greater context to see how everything fits. It's a good point. Prabhuji? Yeah, it's a half-day fasting for Jesus today, yeah, so no breakfast. I don't know. Just 1 second.
Just thinking, when you're speaking, that in complicated situations where there's a consideration of what's happened in the past, that someone that is a seer of the truth is the best person to get advice what to do, because they can understand how to individually deal with different people. So just a comment.
Yeah.
A high authority's help is needed to make decisions that are very complex.
Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. So they're like our barometers. If you are in a kind of a certain situation, and if certain requests are made of you, then Prabhupada, one of his disciples wrote to Prabhupada and says, I want to leave my husband. And then Prabhupada said, why do you want to leave your husband? Then she said, that, oh, he's making me cook meat. And Prabhupada said, no, do your dharma, stay with your husband. You cook meat for him, but you don't eat it yourself. So, you know, in that sense, Prabhupada gave, you know, she had her own idea, but Prabhupada said no.
Yeah. So same with these type of situations.
Yeah, yeah.
They're delicate, so they have to be dealt with expert guidance.
But just generally, you know, once, I mean, it's just a little bit of a, once one husband, he was married for 60 years, and they asked, oh my God, 60 years you're married. And he said, oh, how do you manage to stay so long together? He said, my philosophy in marriage is very simple. When the wife asks you something, just say yes, even if you don't agree. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.